Welcome to Keeping It Real with Frankie D, an Italian-American podcast, and I am your proud host, Frankie D, and we can always be heard at www.italianamericanlife.com, also on iTunes, Stitcher, the app on your phone, the podcast app, and I would ask you to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and connect with us on LinkedIn. Today's episode is coming from the very beautiful Piazza Italia in Chicago at 3418 North Harlem Avenue, the home of Pasta Fresh, Bartucci Restaurant, and Little Italy's Gifts. If you want to feel like you're in Italy, come down here. My guest today is a Chicago girl who played hockey at the University of Wisconsin in Madison and won two national championships. She coaches a Chicago Blackhawks blind hockey team. She's a hockey recruiter. She has taken a team to Italy. She's a fascinating girl by the name of Carla Pentimone. Carla, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Frankie. It's an honor to be here and really excited to be at Pasta Fresh as well.
It's an honor to have you here. You are a hockey giant, if I may say. Your resume for hockey is amazing. And I know I've never played hockey. It's a tough sport. And I got to tell our audience, you are somewhat of a petite girl, kind of short, very thin. And I'm just wondering how you played that tough sport, but we will get into that. First of all, I understand you're a 100% Italian-American girl. I love that. Where is the family? What are your roots in Italy? Where do you trace them to?
Yeah, 100% Italian, third generation, extremely proud of my heritage. My father's side is mostly Sicilian, and then my mother's side is Calabria and also Tuscany, so a little bit more northern Italy.
That's great. And I know that you have been to Italy. How many times have you been to Italy?
Two times. Going to be going back in June.
Okay, so you took a team. Tell me about the team you took to Italy.
Yeah, it was an incredible experience. Last year, we went over to Italy for the United World Games. They were actually held in Klagenfurt, Austria. So we had about a four-day series for games with my U16 team. We took third in the United World Games. They do a great job over there, Frank. They have an opening ceremonies for the youth athletes. We took third against Hungary, so they're pretty tough out there, but really had a wonderful time, and we're taking another group back this coming year.
And were you able to travel around Italy, take the girls?
Yeah, we went. We had my favorite part. We had a beautiful boat tour in Lake Como. You know, they showed us Clooney's house. And
I was just going to say, I believe he has a home there. Yes, yeah. They actually showed you his house.
It was gorgeous. Yeah, we thought we might have saw him, but that might have just been the girls, you know, saying, hey, I think that's Clooney.
But wishful thinking.
Exactly. And did a little tour then in Bellagio, and Bellagio's beautiful with the mountains. Had some wonderful food over there.
Just that's awesome. That's awesome. So tell me, how does this petite little Italian-American girl from Chicago get into hockey?
Well, believe it or not, Frank, I actually was 150 pounds. I'm 5'1 now, but I was a little bit more on the larger side as a hockey player, which you kind of need those muscles. Especially, you know, I played with girls like Hillary Knight, Megan Duggan, some of the best in the world, and I was nothing compared to those girls. They are something else. So,
what position did you play mostly?
I was a forward. Forward.
Is that a lot? I mean, there's a lot of contact in hockey in general, correct?
Mm-hmm. So I was kind of, I guess you can say, like the gopher. I get in the corners. I was more of a playmaker, digging the puck out. You know, winning battles along the boards. If anybody's ever been to a Chicago Blackhawks game, go Hawks. You guys know what I'm talking about with that sort of stuff. Not really the Patrick Kane type. Maybe if you're thinking maybe more of the Andrew Shaw type. So
all right. Now, so did your father kind of push you into this sport, or a brother or something?
Yeah. So my father started playing hockey. He's a Chicago police officer. God bless our police department, our fire department. And he plays currently for the Chicago Police Department. He got both me and my brother into it.
He plays hockey for the Chicago Police Department?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they have a team?
He does, yeah.
That's incredible. I didn't know that.
We're going to be going down for my 30th birthday to the Guns and Hoses hockey tournament, all police and fire. So, yeah, anyways, my dad and my brother both played, and I was a figure skater, and I finally convinced mom and dad after going to a lot of practices for my brother, Joey. I said, Mom, Dad, not going to any more hockey practices until you get me some skates. So at the age of 13, they let me. Mm-hmm.
So 13, you started playing like organized hockey.
Correct.
And did you love it from the get-go?
I loved it. My brother and I were on a team together, so that was great bonding for us there.
And you were already, I'm assuming, like an accomplished skater?
Yeah, I had a little bit of a leg up because of my figure skating abilities. It took me a while to get the stick in my hands and the stick handling, but I think I just had a passion for it, and I ran with it, and it's kind of been, I can't put the skates and the stick down ever since. So
that's incredible. Yeah. So you played in high school, I'm assuming.
I did.
For the high school team. Were mm-hmm. you still playing like travel teams? And
yes. So I played for Loyola Academy, and then I also played, you have to kind of play both high school and AAA hockey, it's called AAA. So the AAA organizations around Chicago are the Chicago Mission, Team Illinois, and then also the Chicago Fury. Chicago Young Americans.
Was it a 12-month commitment?
Does
it ever end?
90 games a season.
Wow.
I got to go play at the Olympic Training Center in Lake Placid. Not sure if you guys are familiar with Mark Johnson and the 1980 Olympic win over...
Who was Mark Johnson? I mean, I'm familiar with the 1980, yes.
Ever see the movie Miracle, Frankie?
I don't think I saw it.
It's a great one.
I would like to watch it,
great sports movie. So my coach, Mark Johnson, he was the coach of Wisconsin, won, you know, the Olympic gold medal in 1980, long, illustrious career in the NHL. As a player.
Yep. And then he coached you in college.
He coached me in college.
Wow, that's great, yes.
And then from there, I just I had a love for the game. I continued to play. I actually had an offer to go play over in Europe.
Professionally.
I went to...
Out of high school?
Out of college. So the plan was, I was at grad school at Northwestern University training here in Chicago. And the plan was to go overseas and play. Had a knock to the noggin. Had two knocks to the noggin while playing. So decided to transition into coaching. So... that's kind of what got me into coaching.
A little safer choice, right?
A little safer.
It's a rough sport. I mean, it's a very, very, very rough sport. So
it is. It is. And I just love, I love coaching. Currently, I coach at Robert Morris College in Chicago. I coach for the Chicago Blackhawks blind ice hockey team. And then I'm also coaching, or I'm a director. I oversee programming for about 5 teams.
You're quite busy. Tell me about, you played at University of Wisconsin mm-hmm. and your team won the national championship 2 years in a row?
Yes. So we won it in 2009. And then Coach Mark Johnson took a team for the Olympic year 2010. And then from there, won it again in 2011 for my senior year.
And what was that experience like? I mean, that's reaching the pinnacle, pinnacle of your sport. In college, Division I national champion.
Thank you, Frank. Yeah, it was incredible. There's a funny article about me being the Rudy of that team.
Call you the Rudy?
Yeah, so, you know, I
love the Rudy. I always love the underdog. I love the overachiever, so to speak.
Absolutely,
yes.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, especially being an Italian-American, I just have a lot of pride. You know, people saw the last name. There's a lot of, you know, different last names, but not too many Italian ones. So I think that being a Badger, everybody, my last name kind of stuck out a little bit as a Badger.
I can imagine it did. And that had to be, so you go to Wisconsin, where I would assume there's a lot of hockey play. That had to be a really good hockey program college, correct?
Yep. Yeah. They're one of the top in the countries. The girls now have their own facilities. Beautiful facilities. It's an arena that fits 2,000. They have their own sauna, steam room. So great place to be recruited.
Going there, did you even think about, wow, maybe we could win a national championship or
no? No, it was truly a dream come true. My dad always says the only thing you can control in life is how hard you work. And that was one thing that stuck with me. And I think that, you know, I wanted to work hard. I wanted to have a good college career, but never thought, you know, we'd make it all the way to NCAAs and then go on to win two national championships.
That is awesome. Do you receive a medal for that as a national champion?
We have two pretty honking rings.
You get rings?
Yeah, we get some rings and some bling, and the university gives those to us, which is pretty nice.
That's wonderful. And that's something that sticks. You are a national champion. That sticks with you for a lifetime.
Thank you.
Really,
thank
that's
you
what
so much.
You were called, thank a national champion, two-time national champion.
Thank you.
Incredible.
Thank
you. So you finish playing, you decide not to play pro, mm-hmm. And you go into coaching. How did you get into coaching the Chicago Blackhawks blind hockey team? And how, you know, that's amazing in itself. There's a blind hockey team. Tell me all about that.
Absolutely. So I saw, I was just on YouTube looking at some hockey videos, and it came up, the Chicago Blackhawks blind ice hockey team. I was in complete awe. There's a puck that has a noisemaker on the inside of it. So the players are able to track it from A to B, and kind of just use, you know, their hearing to be able to track the puck.
And what age group is this? Or is there not an age group?
It's all ages.
It's all ages.
You know, we have
boys, girls.
Boys, girls, everybody. Charlie's 5. We have Bill, who's in his 40s, with a kid. And everybody has different levels of abilities as far as their sight. So, you know, goaltenders typically are those players who cannot see at all. They are completely blind.
Because they don't have anywhere to go. They're just in the net.
Correct. So they kind of use their posts as a means to track where they are in time and space. Our defensemen are a little bit better sighted players. And then our forwards are our best sighted players.
Now, you obviously have the hockey background for this, but what about dealing with the blind? Did you have to, I don't know, take a course or like be trained in a certain way?
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, USA Hockey, you have to take a lot of different courses. I took quite a few disabled courses, but blind hockey is truly new. It's not like sled hockey, or even we have AHIHA, which is the American Hearing Impaired Hockey Association, but blind hockey is really new. So, you know, our athletes are kind of our guinea pigs. When we're trying to explain a drill, you can't just say, you know, draw it up on the board, go here, go here, go there.
No, you can do that.
So we need a lot of coaches to be able to kind of tap their sticks in the direction in which to go. I kind of figured out what's called stride count. So, you know, the rink is you know, yay big.
Do they make it smaller?
They don't know. So it's the full length of the ice. So we say, okay, say it's 16 strides to get across the ice. Players have to count in their heads, okay, this is how long. And
really?
And kind of their vision is low, their other sensory perception is heightened. So their hearing is heightened. So when they hear the puck bang against the boards, they know their teammates' voices.
That is very interesting.
Incredible.
Yeah, that's incredible. I wouldn't have ever thought about that, that they got to be doing all these things in their mind, mm-hmm. besides actually playing and trying to score a goal.
Absolutely, yeah.
And this is a paid position or a volunteer position?
It's a volunteered position. I went there about 3.5 years ago. It's about an hour away from my house in the burbs. And
you just went there and said, can I help?
Yeah. And it's been my pleasure ever since.
That's very nice of you.
These kids are very, very, very motivating to me. You know, blind people don't really get a chance to have physical contact. You know, if they bump into me or bump into a person, you know, on the street, usually they're saying they're sorry. And this is a place where they don't have to apologize for anything. They love, you know, just like everybody loves that physical contact, physical sports. You know, and I truly believe everyone on this earth has something that they struggle with. You know, we all have struggles and, you know, hard times. But for me, hockey has been a very unifying thing for all of my athletes. And I think everybody deserves the chance to play this great sport. You know, I've had injuries, but you get back onto the ice and, you know, we've had players that have broken bones and they love it. They love being hockey players.
Oh, some of the blind players have broken bones?
Oh, yeah.
I guess it's inevitable because
a coach lost a tooth.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's they're on the ice and it's physical and things happen.
Absolutely.
But they probably love it because it's their chance to get out there and be part of something like that and play a sport and do all those things. So that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're a recruiter for the next college student athlete. Tell me about that.
Yep. So I work for a wonderful company. It's international, NCSA, Next College Student Athlete. So my role is the head recruiting coach for ice hockey, is to match student athletes with a college that would best suit them. So I'm constantly talking to college coaches, constantly talking to ice
hockey. So how do you find these players? Do they find you? Do you find them? Do you hear a tip and say, oh, there's this really good hockey player in wherever and I don't know, you look them up? How does it work?
It's a little bit of both. You know, my role in the hockey community does expose me to a lot of different hockey players, and they use our resources for recruiting. But, you know, they kind of sign up needing help and having a passion and wanting to play college ice hockey, and then we kind of make that happen for them.
So these are mostly seniors in high school? Or the equivalent?
Frankie, the recruiting process starts very young. So they're even in eighth grade.
Also.
And it starts really early for hockey. And then for I work with men's ice hockey clients too. They have to start a little bit earlier as well. They play juniors. So that's why you see 20, 21-year-old freshmen in high school, where a typical freshman would be anywhere from 18, 19 years old because they're playing juniors.
Is some of this in Europe as well? Or
there
is
are
it mostly
European leagues.
Canada and...
There are, you know, there are American junior leagues. There's Canadian junior leagues. For American players, they typically play on the American teams because you get import status when you're a Canadian. Or when you're not a Canadian, you have to be, there's only allowed 6 imports. So it's very, you know, exciting. I worked with some Italian hockey players
from
as
Italy.
Well, from Italy.
Italy.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I need to brush up on my Italian. My grandma would not be happy with me.
And they've come to the United States and gone to college and played hockey.
They have. Yes. It's a little bit more difficult to process getting visas, but you know, again, if there's a will, there's a way. And a lot of these athletes from Europe want to be playing at the NCAA institutions. And
is United States the best college hockey, the best quality?
It allows for the most opportunities, I would say, from an academic and athletic scholarship perspective. Division I is kind of the highest league you can be playing before professional and without getting paid. So the NCAA, the national governing body of sports, is one of the best leagues that you can play in the world.
How long have you been with this company?
Not too long. I've been there for 8 years. Before that, I spent 5 years at the Chicago Tribune. Love the Tribune, but you finally married my passion for ice hockey. And
your Tribune days had nothing to do with hockey, though, did it?
They didn't, no.
You weren't in the sports department?
No, yeah.
What'd you do there?
I was in marketing. I was in, you know, doing a lot of marketing and working with a lot of, you know, small business owners, which I really liked, and kind of getting the word out there about their
But are
brand.
You happier now being involved with hockey?
Very happy, very, very happy.
And you said you coach at Robert Morris?
Yep, I coach Robert Morris College, the women's ice hockey team. We have a wonderful group of girls, and they're also very involved with a lot of philanthropic endeavors and helping out with, you know, whether it's in the community with young girls playing hockey. And we have actually started a new league. If anybody's looking to get their little girl involved in hockey, if they've ever been interested, Girls United is actually a new league. We provide the equipment.
Yeah, okay, so if someone is interested, yep. How do they go about?
If somebody's interested, feel free to send me an email, actually, would be the best way. CPENTIMONE at admiralshockeyclub.com.
And what age group is this?
That is age 5 through 13. The equipment's provided, everything. It's $49 for 8-week program, which is pretty nice.
And it takes place in the city or in the
suburbs?
This
one day, this session is going to be taking place in Glen Ellen. So it's going to be Carroll Stream Ice Arena.
Very nice. Yep. Yes. Is there more girls? Okay, that's another question I wanted to ask you.
Yes.
So you're roughly upper 20s?
Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm 29.
Okay, so from the time you were 10, 12, or 13 when you actually started high playing hockey, mm-hmm. so about 16 years ago, more girls into hockey now than they were then?
Absolutely. They're USA Hockey is trying to do, you know, a lot of grassroots efforts to kind of grow the game. You know, as we were kind of discussing before, you know, even with your kids, Frank, how wonderful sports are for both males and females, and the growth and the confidence and everything. So
absolutely, the camaraderie, the character building is great. Yes.
Yeah, and I know your daughter is now
she's a dancer, college dancer.
Yes.
Yes,
that's incredible. And so yeah, I just think that the growth of women's sports has gotten better and better, and you know, we continue to have programs like this, Girls United. That's, you know, starting girls who've never played hockey and grow. So the numbers actually since the women's team, the Olympic team, won the gold medal this past February 2018, has grown astronomically. into the thousands, girls have signed up to now play ice hockey.
Is there a professional women's hockey league in the United States?
There is. There's the NWHL, which is, the girls are actually paid. They're paid. They're able to play hockey for a living, which is cool.
Is there a team here in Chicago?
There's not. They're trying to get
I one. Find that odd. It's such a big city. I would think there would be.
Yeah. A lot of East Coast teams, the Boston Blades and, you know,
I'm sure.
Minnesota. Yes. There's a lot of great leagues in Minnesota, not professional, but great women's leagues. So the NWHL, and then in Canada, it's called the CWHL. Shout out to the Toronto Furies. Carolyn Prevost was one of my teammates, Canadian teammates. So absolutely, we have some great opportunities for our women's ice hockey players.
Very nice. I understand that you made an appearance on the Windy City Live, a television program here in Chicago. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I got the opportunity. My cousin, you know, family forever, she actually fostered the connection with Windy City Live, which was really cool. Sent in an email and to honor me as a four-star Chicagoan, which is pretty neat. And
well, I would have voted for you, if that's for sure. You really are.
Thank you, Frankie. I appreciate that. So we had the cast come out and tape our practice, and the kids and the athletes got to do an interview, as did their parents, and talked about, you know, the really tight-knit community that we have at the Chicago.
And that had to bring a lot of nice publicity for this program, because I never heard of it.
It was. And, you know, coincidentally, we had a Try Hockey for Free for blind athletes just, you know, a couple of weeks after. So we were able to get some publicity and some new numbers of some blind players who came in because of that show. So that was really cool.
Very nice.
Did a separate in-studio interview with Val and Ryan. They're really wonderful people. Very
nice. They seem
like
it. They seem genuine.
Very genuine people. Stayed to greet everybody in the stands. So I thought that was pretty cool.
So that's a regular segment. They honor a Chicagoan?
Yep, they do.
That's very nice. I like that.
And then, I had a great time. And I just think ever since then, it's been really neat that the kids, you know, they're so deserving of this honor as well.
They must have got a kick out of this television segment.
They did. And it's been kind of published all over. And so we're definitely, you know, getting a lot of noteworthy, you know, publicity, which has been nice for our team.
That always helps, definitely. What is the future for Carla? Is anything in the future not involve hockey?
Well, you know, I'm excited. I'm going to be headed over to Europe again, as I mentioned, for the United World Games. And then we're going to be going to Finland as well. So, you know, I just want to keep giving back to the sport, keep giving back to the game. Maybe one day, you know, have a family of my own someday if I meet.
Teach the kids how to play hockey.
Teach the kids how to play hockey, all that good kind of stuff. But, you know, just spending time with family, that's what's most important.
Well, that's great. Well, Carla, you're an inspiration. I could tell you do you ever sleep? Is there any sleep involved in your life?
I don't watch a lot of TV, Frank. I like to kind of keep going. I'm a high energy
I could see that when you walked in. I felt energy coming off you. Okay, you just seem like you're raring to go with everything. That's awesome. All the best to you. You're a fine example for Italian Americans. I mean that. I'm very proud of you. Your accomplishments are incredible. And thank you so much for the interview. And keep going and keep striving out there, okay?
Thank you, Frankie. God bless. I hope everybody has a great new year. Happy 2019.
Thank you. And as we always say, stay strong, stay sharp, and stay Italian. Thank you to all for listening.
Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. Once there was a silly old ram, thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes.
He had high hopes.
He had high apple pie in the sky hopes. Oh, anytime you're feeling bad, instead of feeling sad, just remember that ram. Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt dam.
Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt dam.
Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt dam. There goes another problem, kerplop.
Oops, there goes another problem, kerplop.
Oops, there goes.